Blog Talk Radio.
You Can't Clip My Wings, a powerful show that discusses life and how we live it.
Good evening, you guys. How are you tonight? Welcome to another episode of the YCCMW 2020 show. I am your host, Salita, and you can check us out on You Can't Clip My Wings on our Facebook page. You can also go to You Can't Clip My Wings on our website and check us out over there. Definitely, if you want to get in contact with me, you can on either one of those platforms. I am available. All right, so we are on part four, and I'm going to probably make this the last part of my unpublished book so you guys can't take it and steal my story. Again, this book was written back in 1999. I can't remember which one it is. I think I said 1999. So it was a book that was written a long time ago. It was never published. Okay, so, and it is copyrighted, so do not try to steal my work, okay? Let me say that to you again. Do not try to steal my work. It needs to be brushed up on. It needs to be corrected. It's got so many errors, and it's ridiculous. But I thought I would just share it with you guys. Now, when I finish this book, I have another book I want to read to you guys. Excerpts of another book, which is actually a completed book. Was published, but I'm redoing it. So, and then I have two other books that I've actually finished, and they are published books, and they've been out there for a while, but I want to share those with you too. So we'll have story time for the next couple of weeks, and then I'm going to go back to what I love talking about, life in general. Okay? So far, as you know, the name of the book is The Hell... It's called Hell of a Pen Name, and it's about a book about a book. Isn't that weird? A book about a book that has changed so many people's lives. It is a book similar to like something for Harry Potter. You know, this is the first sequence of the book. I'm not going to say that it's going to be a second sequence. I am not going to say that because I don't know. It has affected people. It's almost like a spell or a curse. This dark creature named Nadus is the one who's controlling everything. He created the book to do just what it's doing, destroying people. And he found this guy that lives in Tennessee. This story takes place across several states, but main three states are Colorado, Tennessee, and Louisiana, and it's dealing with three different people that is going to actually come together somewhere down the line. But in the meantime, they're experiencing all these different things. Well, this book called A Boy Who Had Wings actually was written by a guy named Seth Brockingham. Well, they needed Seth Brockingham to actually be a real person, so Gordon Riggs out of Tennessee was picked to be this person. So right now, it's a lot going on in each state. I think the last thing we talked about, or the last scenario that we talked about in the book, was the idea that Candace, who lives in Louisiana, actually got a gift. She thought it was her ex-boyfriend who gave her the little kitty, but no. The kitty is there for a whole other purpose. And that's where I think we left off at, if I'm not mistaken. Oh, no. We left off at the part in Tennessee where Gordon's girlfriend is starting to be curious about what's going on. So she finds out where is he at because, you know, everybody's not talking about it, but they know he's been going doing book signings. He has changed his whole persona. He is not the same guy he used to be. He doesn't look the same. She notices him because she's his girlfriend. She finds out where he's at, and he's about to meet her. Now, you know he ain't supposed to be talking to nobody, but, you know, he's defiant. He loves his girlfriend. He wants to see his girlfriend. He misses her, so he's going to work out some way that he can see her. Now, if you want to continue listening and you want to have questions that you want answered, please feel free to call in at 563-999-3576. That's 563-999-3576 and understand this story is really good. Not coming from just me, but I had this story read by other people and they said it would be good. I just never did anything with it because that's what I do sometimes. Being a person like I am, creative people don't necessarily be organized people, and they're not always a consistent people, okay? I'm just going to let you know that. We go through life, we finish something, it's like the world has opened up for us. It is so hard for us to complete different things, okay? So we're going to go ahead and get into the story real quick here. So we're going to start going back into Tennessee at this very moment. Yeah. We're going back into Tennessee. All right. Let's see here. Give me a second. The hotel room that Carol was staying in was large and decorated in magnolias. The time she got to spend with Gordon was not much, but she cherished it. Even though she didn't understand what was going on, she believed that he was not doing this alone and that this was some kind of a test out of nowhere. Gordon told her everything. The smell of his cologne still lingered in the room. Carol slipped out of the bed and walked over to the window and looked out. The streetlights sparkled in the night, gave her security from the darkness. She believed that as long as there was light, nothing could scare her. Someone knocked on her door. She was startled. She asked who it was. He told her it was a friend of Gordon's. She opened the door. He stood in the doorway, his height seemed to take up the room. Would you like to sit down? No. I won't be here that long. I know that you've been seeing Seth. I mean, he's Gordon to you. And he's probably told you some wild stories. Don't worry about him. He's in good hands. We'll make sure that he'll be all right. Now, understand, everything he has told you is not true. He's under a lot of pressure, and he's taking a lot of medication. Mayor asks, where did you come from? I don't think that's important right now. Nadas answered, trying not to lose his composure. Well, I think it is. It's my place to know about my boyfriend. Is my boyfriend life in jeopardy? Are you sure about that? He's not the same. Why is that? Again, I will tell you that a lot of events and actions have taken place, and it's not important right now. Why are you avoiding my question? You didn't answer me yet. Why was Gordon picked, and when will he come back home? Why wasn't someone else chosen? Not as slowly. Losing his temper or his patience with this woman and all her questions. Gordon had already jeopardized the whole operation by telling her everything. Hey, let's start all over again. Get dressed and I'll take you for a ride. Then we'll go back and talk to Gordon one last time. What do you mean one last time? She asked, with her head leaned to the side. I mean, before he leaves. We have a lot more places to go. He will be leaving in the morning. You know that, right? He didn't tell me that, she said, looking at him suspiciously. It's not his job to keep up with his schedule. It's my job. That's why I know we're leaving in the morning. Wait a minute. You never said your name. Oh, I'm very rude, aren't I? My name is Nadas. All of a sudden, Nadas took on his true form. He grabbed Carol with a snap of his finger. She laid at his feet, and her neck was broken. He picked her body up and carried her into the darkness. Gordon was going crazy. He hadn't heard from her. He asked Nadas over and over again, did he have anything to do with her disappearance? Karen's parents were pleading for her to return. They did trace her back to the hotel, but the trail went cold right after that. Gordon begged Nadas to allow him to go back and talk to Carol's parents. Nadas finally agreed. Gordon knew in his heart that Nadas had something to do with her disappearance. He felt it in every cell of his body. Nadas was Satan, and Satan was powerful. He had already gotten rid of anything and anybody who interfered with his mission. Children were still suffering, but not as bad. After the CDC came together with Hank and Daniel, they got an emergency approval from the FDA to issue the medication they produced. Hank and Daniel worked numerous hours of overtime, making sure that there was enough to go around. Parents were using the samples that were given to the local hospitals. Every source was used to deliver the medication to the children in the affected states. Everyone was slowly starting to breathe easy, but the unruly children were still wreaking havoc on their cities and towns. Nadas was familiar with the prophet Oscar. He refused to get caught up with him again. Just the thought of that man made him angry. The prophets shut him down before, but this time he will win. No matter what it will take, he will win. He looked down at his watch, then looked over at Gordon. Seth, that is. Gordon lost a lot of weight and began to look gaunt and gangly. He needed to do something to get him back in shape. That Carol woman took a lot out of him. Nadas believed that he did Gordon a favor by getting rid of her. They still hadn't found her body. The nation was San Francisco. Gordon slammed the phone down. He felt it was his entire fault Carol was missing, and Nadas was being evasive about it. Gordon's heart began to feel heavy. He suddenly felt that this whole thing was wrong. How did this all happen? If he wasn't a coward, he could have stood up to Nadas. If his faith was stronger, he knew that he could get out of this dilemma. Right now, he felt like praying and asking for guidance. It wouldn't help. He also felt angry with God for allowing all these tragedies to happen to one person, his parents, Elda, and now Carol. Gordon wanted to die. He would be better off not being here, not having to face the devil himself. He vowed to never read another horror fantasy book again. The loneliness shook through his bones like a chill. He sat back in the seat and silently cried. He made sure Nadas couldn't hear his sobs. He had to do something. He had to find a way to resolve his problems. Have you ever heard of this Prophet Oscar before? Nadas asked out of curiosity. No, Gordon lied. Little did Nadas know Gordon had met the Prophet Oscar when he was young. His father had visited Jerusalem, taking the family. Prophet Oscar and some of his people were on the tour also. His father found himself very interesting, and they spent a lot of time talking about the Bible and how the prophecy had to be fulfilled. He remembered the prophet saying there will be a lot of innocent people dying so that the prophecy may be fulfilled, and that's the sad part about it. But if I have to sacrifice, then I've completed my mission on earth. And if I have to be sacrificed, then I have completed my mission on this earth. The prophet then shook his father's hand and walked away. The prophet and his dad stayed in touch after that. Gordon thought he saw the prophet standing in the back of the church during the funeral service of his parents. They settled into the house, the hotel suite. Nadas began going over the scheduled bookings and interviews. Gordon flopped down on the couch, looking down at the wall-to-wall plush carpet, the burgundy drapes that hung from the large windows, the burgundy couch and the chair, and the white leather pillows
on it made Gordon feel so out of place. He missed his home. His father's office was his sanctuary. He needed to be at home waiting for Carol. Are you listening to me, Seth? I have been talking to you. Remember, your performance will determine whether or not I've had enough. The more you walk around not eating and moping, the longer you will be under my wings. The ball is in your court. On the table, there was a silver tea set, and Nadas from time to time sipped from the antique teacup. Nadas, tell me the truth. Did you have something to do with Carol's disappearance? Nadas slowly sipped the tea, taking his time. He placed the cup down. Nadas looked at Gordon with his pair of yellow eyes. What did I tell you? Didn't I tell you Carol was extra baggage? Gordon's heart sank. But you told me that you wouldn't hurt her if I did what you told me to. Who said I hurt her? Gordon quickly looked away. Those eyes looked as though they could burn a hole in his soul. Gordon nervously answered, I just want closure for me and your family. They have been really upset about the whole thing. They've been calling me for days, and I have nothing to tell them. Nadas stood up. Gordon put his hands up to guard his face. Nadas' putrid smell became evident. Gordon began to cough. Nadas just laughed. He made Gordon hold on to the tail of his dark coat Nadas was wearing. All of a sudden, they were in the desert. Gordon stood in front of a medium mound of sand. Nadas touched it, and it separated. And there, lying in black blanket, was Carol. Gordon dropped to his knees and began crying. Grabbing her body against him, he sobbed heavily in her head. No, 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 he yelled at the top of his lungs. He looked angrily at Nadas. Why, Nadas? Why her? She was asking too many questions, and like I said, she was extra baggage. Get a grip on yourself, you humans with all that love crap. A woman is for one thing only, and that is to take care of your manly needs. Get over it. Come on. Sounding annoyed and bored, Gordon flopped back in its resting place. Oh, sorry. Carol's body flopped back into its resting place, and the sand instantly covered back up. In a blink of an eye, they were back in the suite. Would you let me give her a decent burial and let her parents know? Hell no. Let everything stay as it is until I get what I want. Now drop it, he roared. Gordon walked back to the room and slammed the door. He needed to come to his senses. He had to make a decision here. He knew that his life was at stake. Nadas had killed the one person in his life that he lived for. He gave himself 1 week to come up with a plan. He knew that he couldn't do it alone. He needed help. Where could it come from? He had an idea. He thought about the prophet. He sat down at his desk and began jotting down a list on a yellow notepad. Okay, so did you get some of the gist of this conversation? I'm thinking what I'm doing is I'm moving too fast. And I don't know if you guys agree with that. 563-999-3576. 563-999-3576. I think I'm moving a little bit too fast. So I know already I'm going to put on here. Moving too fast. Moving too fast. Slow story down. Okay. I'm moving too fast, so I'm going to have to slow the story down. Okay. So now we're on chapter 7, and we're going to take a break right here, and then we shall return, okay? Thank you, guys.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have arrived in Philadelphia. Local time is 3:05 p.m., and the temperature is 67 degrees. At this time, you are now free to use your cellular devices.
You know that feeling when you get to turn your phone on after the plane lands? You can have that feeling every time you drive. Make sure your cell phone is stowed away whenever you are behind the wheel.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
I can't believe he found them.
He seems sorry.
We very clearly told him not to look up there.
I'm honestly impressed that he was able to do it.
Right? What did he balance on that big chair? Or...
Yeah, I mean, I guess he'll just know what his gifts are this year.
I really thought we had hidden them well.
If they can find their presents, they can find a gun.
911, what is your emergency?
Every day, 8 kids and teens are unintentionally killed or injured by loaded and unlocked guns. Learn how to make your home safer at endfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and End Family Fire.
If you came across someone struggling with hunger, how would you recognize them? By their clothes? Their age? The way they speak? Would you notice the 16-year-old boy who got his first job?
Not for extra spending money, but to help feed his little sisters?
Or a mother who's in between jobs and sometimes goes to bed hungry so her kids can have dinner? Or a 14-year-old girl who signs up to every after-school activity not to make friends, but just to get something to eat? Or a retiree who fell ill and had
to choose between getting medicine or groceries?
I am the one in eight Americans who struggle with hunger. People you pass by every day but never knew were hungry. I am hunger in America.
Hunger can be hard to recognize. Learn why at IamHungerInAmerica.org. Brought to you by Feeding America, 200 Food Banks Strong, and the Ad Council.
All right, you guys, we are back. We are back. If you want to check us out, you can go to YouCan'tClipMyWings.com. You can also go to YouCan'tClipMyWings on Facebook. You can also check us out on Instagram at YCCMW2020. All right? Call in at 563-999-3576, 563-999-3576. Thank you guys for giving me this opportunity to read my unpublished book to you guys. Woo! It is copyrighted, so don't try to steal. It won't work, okay? I promise you. Okay? So, let's go ahead and continue. I hope you guys, you realize that I just said earlier prior to us going to break that I'm writing too fast. I'm getting to the nitty-gritty a little bit too fast where I could probably use some more meat in here instead of trying to run it through so quick. I'm going to add some more meat to this story. You guys, this is going to take some time because this story is a long story, but it's a good story. Okay? Now, we are on chapter 7. Remember, I told you we're going to talk about chapter 7 and chapter 8. And I think chapter 8 is where we're going to let go, leave off, and move forward to my next book. Because it gives you something to work with, to think about, if you're interested in finding more about what I'm going to do with the book. I definitely want to complete it. I'm not going to say it's going to happen this year, but I'm going to try and work on it as much as I can. All right? Okay. So we're on chapter 7 now, and we're back in Louisiana. Okay. So Candace stepped out of her car into the sunshine. The heat was unbearable, and I think I read this one already. I did. I'm sorry. Let me make sure. Yes, you guys, I apologize. We've already read that part. We're at the end, actually. Yeah? Let's see. No. We got one whole section still to go. That's it. Yeah, that's it. Okay. So this is chapter 8 now, and we're in Colorado now, okay? Dr. Good sat next to his wife of 10 years. Sarah gently rubbing her swollen round stomach. The bundle inside moved. Daniel laid his ears closer to her stomach to see if he could hear his baby move. Sarah softly laughed. Danny, stop it. You're making it kick me, and that hurts a little. Her long manicured fingers rubbed the top of his head. He kissed her stomach. He felt himself become aroused as his wife looked down at him. Oh, no, baby. That is...
That is what got us into this mess. She laughed again. She then placed her soft hands on his face and kissed him. He wrapped his arms around her and gently returned the kiss, his eyes pleading with her. Come on, Sarah, I promise I'll be gentle. He raised his head up to kiss her in her hair. No, Danny, I really can't. You know I'm due any time now. I don't want to take any chances of going into labor. Now that would be a sight to see, he said, smiling. They had been ready from the first time Sarah found out she was pregnant. They had planned very carefully. She would stop working at least for the first 2 years of the baby's life. They made sure all their financial obligations had been met. With Daniel working at the hospital, it wouldn't cost a lot to have the baby. He wanted to be the best dad ever. He would change his hours so that they would give him enough time at home with the baby and his wife. They laid in each other's arms on the couch watching the news. The news reporter was somewhere in New Jersey at a hospital. Cameras were in the waiting room. The reporters was interviewing a couple of parents. The parents were a little worn, but they were trying to look relieved. The epidemic had slowed itself down some thanks to the help of Daniel and his friend, Dr. Sullivan. Honey, I think you and Dr. Sullivan are angels. Don't thank us yet. Let's get rid of this whatever it is for good. Well, you are my angel. Sarah put her hands on her stomach. Wow. Hey, you stop that, looking down at her stomach as she once again winced with pain. Another pain shot across the bottom of her stomach. She felt wet. She reached under herself and she realized that she was wet. Her shorts were soaked. She looked over at Daniel and calmly said, honey, I think my water broke. Dr. Sullivan walked into the kitchen to place the coffee cup in the sink when he heard his wife in the living room. Hi, honey, she said as she made her way to the kitchen. How's your research going? Just got a little ways to go. I need to pick up some things for dinner. I want to know if Tiffany wants to go with me to the market. Hank looked at his wife with a guarded expression. Honey, I don't think she's ready for the outdoors yet. We're advising parents not to expose their children to the elements right now. Okay, I'll just check on her. Miss Sullivan climbed the oak stairs to her granddaughter's room. Tiffany was on her knees praying. Mrs. Sullivan kneeled beside her. Tiffany's little red fingers were interlocked as her small gray eyes looked up. Thank you, God, for my grandma. She's so nice to me. Thank you, God, for making my granddad and his friends smart so they can make us well again. God makes this whatever it is go away, and don't let any more kids get sick. Thank you, God, and I love you. Amen. Mrs. Sullivan hugged her. Well, well, you're up. How are you? Mrs. Sullivan kissed her on the forehead, pushing a little curl out of her eye. I feel better. I feel better, Grandma, she said, pushing her auburn hair behind her ears. Mrs. Sullivan's heart ached. Her daughter used to do that when she wanted to talk. Grandma, I want to go outside and play with my toys. Granddad said, not just yet. It's not okay, honey, okay? Wait a minute. Granddad said, not just yet. Come on, Grandma. I feel good. Look. Tiffany jumped from the floor and started to run around the large room, clapping her hands. I'm fine, Grandma. I'm fine. I just got through talking to Hank, and he said it's still too early, my love. Tiffany stopped and started looking serious. Grandma, please. Tiff, it's not my decision. And do you want to be sick again? She lowered her head and stared at the wooden floor with her small arms folded tightly in front of her. Mrs. Sullivan and Tip did not hear Hank coming up the stairs. He stood in the doorway. I'll make you a deal, Grandpa. Oh, I'll make you a deal. Grandpa, you scared me. He picked her up and kissed her on the cheek. Please let me go outside, she begged, her gray eyes shining. How about if I let you play on the veranda while I do some more reading? Hey, that'll work, she said, as she went to her dresser and began pulling drawers, opening, looking for some clothes. Mrs. Sullivan stood up and began to help her get dressed. Granddad, Can I bring my dollhouse down? Sure, my love, I'll carry it. Mrs. Sullivan noticed the look on her husband's face, on his tired face. It was a look of exhaustion and love lost. She knew when he looked at Tiff, he saw their daughter. She knew how much he really missed his daughter. She walked over to him and grabbed him around the waist. Everything is going to work out. Hank covered his wife's hand with his own. I know it will. Hey, Tiff, I wanted to take you with me, but you're not worthy. So I will go by myself to the market. I shouldn't be gone no longer than an hour. Okay, Grandma, Tiffany said as she put her dolls in the basket to take them with her. She kissed Hank on the cheek. Bye, you two. I'll meet you downstairs, young lady, Hank told the granddaughter as he picked the dollhouse up and headed down the stairs. Brownie bounded in front of him, his ears flopping as though he was too ready for some fresh air. After placing the dollhouse on the porch, he headed back to his office to grab his laptop and his notebook. He was stopped dead in his tracks with that familiar smell passed his nose. I wish I had such a lovely family like yours. Hank?
Power off.
Sorry, guys. Nada stood there in a 6'4" frame with dark suit and bright red tie on. He looked as though he had just stepped off a photo shoot for GQ magazine. If you don't watch it, that little Tiffany out there is going to grow up and be a heartbreaker. With those steel gray eyes and those bright Arvin curls, Hank became very angry when he realized what Nadas was implying. You stay away from my baby, Hank said through clenched teeth. Do you think you're scaring me, old man? Nadas laughed. When Hank realized who was talking to, he changed his tone. Can I help you with something? You came for some reason. No. Just remember who's in control. To appease Nod, Hank shook his head. Then Tiffany appeared in the doorway. Come on, Grandpa. Me and Brownie are waiting on you. Hank turned to answer Tiffany and then quickly turned back. Nodis was gone. He looked again at Tiffany. He noticed that she didn't notice the visitor. She ran back to the back of the house. Hank was relieved to know that Tiffany hadn't seen or heard anything.
Well, that was chapter... Oh, we're not finished. We're not finished. We're not finished. One more section. And then we're done. And we will not talk about this book again. Really. Okay?
Louisiana. Candace smiled as she walked past Dr. Johnson. He smiled back. Well, how are you doing this morning? She was about to answer him when an ambulance pulled up to the emergency room glass doors. Well, I guess I'm back to work as headed in the direction of the stretcher. See you later, he said and walked away. Sharon dressed in a red and black jumpsuit with its matching waist jacket, walked past Candace's desk. Well, are you catching up with your work? Yeah, finally, Candace answered, smiling. What's up with you and Dr. Johnson? The word is you guys have been hanging tight lately. First of all, it's nobody's business what we're doing. Second, I will not answer that question. Third, remember, we used to be best friends in high school. Oh, aren't we touchy? Sharon said mockingly. Let me get back to work, girl, Candace said, laughing. You're right, I better do the same. Sharon walked past back to her desk. Candace's phone rang. Hello, Hinesville Hospital. Candace, may I help you? The voice on the other end of the phone was not familiar. Miss Candace, you may not know me, but I know so much about you. Candace felt a little uneasy. The voice had tone of matter of fact. Excuse me? I will say it again. You may not know me, but I know so much about you. I know that you're lonely and you want to be loved by someone. You put on a facade that everything is fine, but you hunger. Deep inside you, there is a little girl that is missing so much. I promise you I can fix all of that for you. Just give me the word. Sir, I don't know who you are or what you want, but I'm not interested, so please do not call me anymore. Listen, Candace, you will know who I am and what I want soon. Sir, I will be hanging up now. She hung up quickly. Candace felt as though she was about to burn up. She unbuttoned the top button of her blouse and took her suit coat and shook, and she took off her suit coat, sorry. She took a folder and began to fan herself. She felt faint. She drank some of her bottled water, but the hot feeling would not disappear. She began to feel afraid. She didn't want to walk outside looking as though she was about to explode. So she stood up, opening the door, made it feel a little bit better. Candace was scared and confused. Why was this happening to her? So many things had happened. She stopped trying to keep up with them. She wanted to blame the phone call on Lloyd, but Lloyd wouldn't do that. That wasn't his style. The screen on the phone displayed that it was a private call. When she tried to call the number back, the machine told her the number couldn't be dialed. Nada sat on the couch with the remote in his hand. Scotty laid over in the corner with his hand on his paws, just staring at Nada. Nada stood up and stretched, walked into a room which was nice and neat and clean, decorated in purple and gold. The four-poster bed was comfortable. Nada laid across the bed. The smell of citrus hung in the air. He opened the drawer next to her bed, and there was a journal. He pulled it out and began reading it. Yes, he needed to get to know her. She would be the best candidate for Seth Brockingham. He decided to watch her a couple more days before he put his plan in action. She would be home soon. He needed to change back to the sweet little kitten. Scotty walked into the room just as Nada was changing his form. He ran out whimpering. The phone call shaken Candace a little, and she needed some rest. It was too much going on at one time. She probably needed some time off. Thought she would drink down her water thirstily. Maybe she was having a nervous breakdown, or what was going on with the kids had something to do with her. She didn't want to think that, but before all of this happened, she was fine. She finds an old friend, and then all hell breaks loose. Candace wonders if James has anything to do with this, too. She wiped her face with a tissue and then replaced her makeup brush. Brushed her hair. She walked back over to the emergency room to see if there was any more news. She then looked down at her watch. It was almost time to go home. Hey, girls, is everything all right over here? Yeah, we finally got caught up. Some of the work, the rest can be handled tomorrow. Can you believe we checked in over 1,000 kids with the first week of this epidemic? Sharon placed her pen down on her desk and yawned. I believe you. I truly am grateful that you guys came in and did your job and more. When this is all over with, I think we should all go out for a drink and celebrate. That sounds great. Later on that evening, James had called to talk to Candace when a man answered the phone. Candace is not here right now. How can I help you? Would you please tell her that James called? And could she call me back? I will give the message, but she will be back late. Perhaps she can call you tomorrow. James began to get a funny feeling. That was not like Candace to be out late, especially by herself. Oh, she's not alone. I encouraged her to go out with a friend of mine. I'm here watching her pets. James couldn't help but to ask, who are you? I'm a friend and a neighbor. We haven't met yet, but we will. That last statement made the hair on the back of his neck stand up. He needed to end this conversation. Okay, I will call her later. Thank you. By the time Candace walked back to her room, Nada had changed back into the little kitty that was asleep on her pillow. Candace stood in the door with her arms folded and shaking her head. Scotty ran to her whimpering. She picked him up, and Candace noticed that he was shaking like a leaf. He kept staring at the kitten on the bed. What is wrong with you? It's just a little kitten. He can't hurt you. She turned and walked back into the living room with Scotty holding tight to her neck. When Candace tried to put him down, he barked. She sat down on the couch and he quickly jumped in her lap. Wow, you guys. So you have to wait till I finish that story. That is it. We got all the way up to chapter 8. We know those chapters are going to change when I go into writing the story, putting more meat to the plate, because there's not enough meat going on, and I think I'm moving too fast. So that is A Hell of a Pen Name is the name of that book, okay? Got a lot more work to do to it, but if you guys would see how thick all this paper is, would be so amazing. So I will be bringing another story to you guys, one that is kind of a little bit explicit. It's for adults only, okay? This next story, there's cursing, there's sex, there's a whole bunch of stuff going on in this next story. So it's going to be interesting. So that is the end of A Hell of a Pen Name by C.B. McCall. We definitely will be we're completed with this one, but we will begin on another story, and I'm not going to give you all of that one. That one is actually completed, and it actually was supposed to have a sequence to it, but I didn't do it. Okay? Then I have another story that I wrote that somebody said both of these stories actually need to have a sequence. So I have three of them that needs to have a sequence to it, but I don't think I'm going to do it. So we're going to be talking about The Mighty Men of Ministries, Inc., is what it's called. Mighty Men of Ministries, Inc. And I will be sharing probably up to chapter 8 on that one, too. I think 8 is my magic number on that one, too. That one was a completed book. So it's going to be interesting to go into that one and for you guys to get like, whoa, look what's happening next. Okay, so we are finished with that one, but I want to go take a break, and then we're going to come back. You guys are going to come back, okay?
WWE superstar Alberto Del Rio, take one.
Behold the angry giant.
Try it again, Alberto.
Behold the angry giant.
Perfect. Good luck tonight.
Behold the angry giant.
Yay! Read me another one, Dad.
This is WWE superstar Alberto Del Rio.
It only takes a moment to make a moment. Take time to be a dad today.
Visit fatherhood.gov, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
If you came across someone struggling with hunger, how would you recognize them? By their clothes? Their age? The way they speak? Would you notice the 16-year-old boy who got his first job?
Not for extra spending money, but to help feed his little sisters?
Or a mother who's in between jobs
and sometimes goes to bed hungry so her kids can have dinner?
Or a 14-year-old girl who signs up to every after-school activity not to make friends, but just to get something to eat? Or a retiree who fell ill and had
to choose between getting medicine or groceries.
I am the 1 in 8 Americans who struggle with hunger. People you pass by every day but never knew were hungry. I am hunger in America.
Hunger can be hard to recognize. Learn why at IamHungerInAmerica.org. Brought to you by Feeding America, 200 Food Banks Strong, and the Ad Council.
Your daughter doesn't want to talk about why her room is a horrible mess. Your son doesn't want to talk about why he's wearing mismatching socks. Your spouse doesn't want to talk about their bad haircut. Families don't have to talk about everything, but they should talk to plan for an emergency. Pack basic supplies in a go bag, water, canned food, flashlights, batteries, medical supplies, IDs, and some cash. Talk about where you'll meet in case you lose one another. And of course, don't forget to pack the dog treats. Talk to your family and make an emergency plan. Go to nyc.gov/readyny or call 311 to make your family's emergency plan. Brought to you by New York City Emergency Management and the Ad Council.
All right, you guys. We are back. We are back again. You can check us out on
youcan'tclipmywings.com and You Can't Clip My Wings Facebook page. You can also check us out on Instagram, which I don't do a lot of, to be honest with you, at YCCMW2020. All right. Excuse me. Let me make sure. Okay. That's the wrong story. There we go. Okay. Let's see here. Yeah. Okay. So, this story is next. And again, this is called The Mighty Men of the Ministry, Inc. Okay, it's a corporation. Okay, and we're going to be talking about that. I'm going to give you a little bit of the, I can give you a little bit of the synopsis the book, give you a little intro of the book that we're going to be covering. Okay, make sure that doesn't do that. Okay. Now, intro is, I would like to introduce to you the Mighty Men of Ministries, Inc. These wonderful men live wonderful lives with their beautiful wives. Their churches love them. The community loves them. So with all of that, how could anything go wrong? Some love being filled with the Holy Spirit can be something glorious to experience. But what happens when the Holy Spirit decides to move out? What is left? An idle spirit is the devil's playground. Mighty Men, Inc. of Ministries, Mighty Men of Ministries, Inc. are four men of the cloth, who have created a whole new world that doesn't involve church or their wives. Mighty Men of Ministry have been able to keep their secrets for a while. Their monthly weekends away, chosen by different members, allows them to choose to take off their robes and put away the Bible. And I'm going to stop right there because that's number four. Okay. So, I hope you understood what I just said. Like I said, this is a book that I've already done, but I want to go back and redo my characters and redo. Now, this is a real good story. I ain't going to tell you no lie. I'm going to be honest with you. It is a juicy story, but it's very, very explicit. I ain't going to tell no lie. Let's see. Where do I want to stop at on this one? This one. We'll see, because this is set up differently. So I can't wait to share that book with you guys. I'm excited about that. Let's see here. Let's see here. Okay. All right. Okay. So, you guys, I am excited about this story time. I hope you guys enjoyed this time that we had. If you have anything you want to talk about, anything that you want to share with us, please feel free to be part of our show, 563-999-3576, 563-999-3576. You guys, I am going to shut it down early tonight, 10 minutes early, simply because I have some other homework I got to do. So I am going to go ahead and knock that out, but I just definitely wanted to share that with you. Guys, stay tuned. And if you get a chance, I forgot to tell you something else, you guys. I also have another podcast that I do. It's called You Are Loved, and you can find that on anchor.fm. You Are Loved, and it might be several ones on there, but mine is the African-American lady with the butterfly, okay? So definitely take time out and check out that podcast, too, because I've shared a lot of things on there. And And I'm trying to set up a podcast for each thing that I do, okay? But Your Love is kind of basically almost like what we do over here. We share a lot of information. We do a lot of things over there as well as we do over here. I also am also myself, me personally, without all my other things. I also have another little show that I do. I talk a lot about life, but I also talk about my experiences in the military. So I've been doing that lately on that show. So it's Salida McCall. There's no name for it or anything. And it's Unhapps, H-A-P-P-S. Okay? You can check that out too. So I have several different things that you can check out, you guys. So I shall see you guys later. I'm going to go ahead and let you go. You guys have a great night. I'll probably be back tomorrow night. I'm going to try to. Okay? If nothing interferes with what I need to do, definitely. Okay? So you guys have a great night. We love you here. And bye-bye.